Today on the Cooligans, USMNT have let us all down. Mm. What are we expecting for them? What is going on? Where do we feel? We take the temperature and try to figure out how does Pochettino move forward.
It's a lot of stuff we talk about in that one. But in the second segment, we go back to some of the comments that you guys have left on the last Pro Rel video we did. And let's just say Carter picked out a few that are just disrespectful to me. I don't know why Carter, I don't know what I did to Carter, but he seems to hate me. Or maybe you guys didn't leave any positive messages about me. Also, after that, we talk a little bit about MLS, and then Christian argues with me that I keep saying it's a little too early to say these teams are going to win MLS Cup, and then maybe he picks all the food I eat in a day. You got to listen to this last segment. It's absolutely hilarious. That and more today on the Cooligans. So I was making cookies the other day with the lady. In other words,
I was gonna ask, I'm like, if you were by yourself, I'm like, oh bro,
that is a step
forward.
Are
you about to reveal something about yourself?
I would say that's progress, no? As opposed to just going to buy them, I'm making them.
Okay.
But my wife was making cookies and I was like, let me help. And that usually means
you were helping her make cookies. You started it by saying
I got involved. So I was making cookies. But usually that means me hovering over going, what are you doing now? What are you doing now? Or you put that in there? What about this? You know? So it's like, let me actually get in here. Let me start whipping some stuff up.
Okay.
And my wife was like, you know what? Why don't I tell you the directions and then you can make them? Because you've never made cookies. I've never made cookies before. So I was like, all right, let's do it. And then you have to almost like, you know, when you make pizza dough or something, you have to weigh the ball of dough that you rip from the large mass, right? Mm-hmm. They all have to weigh the same so that the cookies all come out the same, right? They all bake at the same speed. So, but taking it, I was like, I would rip it and I go, oh, it's 1.3 ounces. And I, boom, 1.3 ounces. I was like, oh, that's 1.2 ounces. I'm like, boom, 1.2 ounces. Next one, oh, that feels a little too big. It's 1.5. Let me take some off. Boom, 1.5 on the scale. I'm always like, yo, you're really good at this. I was like, I know, should have been a drug dealer. I'm always like, there's so many other things you could have said. Sure. Yeah, I don't know why. I just think I would have been a very good drug dealer. I got a great personality, right? Mm. People love having me around. I got a lot of jokes and I'm good at weighing.
You're good at, sure. You, the number's incredibly high when you are weighing. So sure.
Yeah.
Okay. My wife has gotten into cookie decorating and making cookies and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So cookies have been a bigger part of my life. I haven't made cookies.
You haven't helped at all.
No. I mean, it's also, she's usually making the cookies like for
an event
or somebody.
You don't get the runoff.
I mean, I try the cookies. Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, I want to see how this bake came out or whatever. So I'll participate to that degree. Mm-hmm. But then she makes the cookies and then, which is seems to be like the easy part, but the decorating part, she looks like a jeweler with like that little microscope.
She's got the diamond tester.
And she is designing like cute little things for like, either children's birthdays or
right,
whatever.
It's like little planes,
little trains, automobiles.
Little automobiles. lions, tigers, and sometimes
but you
bears.
Know, the apartment smells delicious.
Nothing's better than a house that smells like cookies, bro.
Exactly.
It really is the most welcoming smell. When I say cookies, I mean chocolate chip. You're not talking about chocolate chip. She makes like sugar cookies.
She makes sugar cookies when she's
I prefer the smell of chocolate chips because then you get the melted chocolate smell.
Okay. I mean, look, this is...
I'm saying, tell your wife to step her game up, is what I'm saying.
You were like, your house smells like shit.
Yeah. Yeah. This is disgusting. I come in there with a hot plate and chocolate. I'm like, you see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Shout out to everyone who makes cookies,
all
bro.
All the cookies.
A lot harder than I thought, but apparently I'm amazing at it. I could have been cooking crack this whole time, is what I'm saying.
Okay. You're good at weighing piles of dough.
Buddy.
You don't even need a scale. You could just eyeball it.
I could eyeball. I got off the sense, off the feel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. My wife's like, there's so many other things. You could have been a good bread maker. I'm like, I make that bread by selling drugs. I was like, stop it.
Why did I get cast in The Wire? Yeah. I should have been
They failed, bro. It was supposed to be about Newark, too.
Sure.
The show.
I mean, you could have been running a trap house.
Bro, I would have been so good. Also, it would have been a very clean trap house because I don't like meth.
With your great personality in the trap house.
Yo,
just welcome to my trap house. Yeah,
roasting people at the trap house. Everyone's got guns. Everybody be careful.
Okay, we all have boundaries and they need to be respected. Yeah. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. We have to try to cheer people up because of, you know, the name.
Did America do something bad?
I mean, always. Yeah. But in soccer, yes, they have. It's not going great.
I can't even use this button right now, bro.
No, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel genuine. It's not proper. But we'll get
unless you assume that the sound that follows it is this eagle crashing into a building and you go...
Boom. Hey, now it
feels more appropriate.
Now it all makes sense.
It thumps into the glass.
We'll talk about Nations League and talk some MLS in a little bit. And we have to react a little bit. There's been the announcement of ProRel in USL.
But if there's one thing that I love about our show is that people will hear our takes and they go, you know what? Maybe I don't agree, but I don't need to put anything inflammatory on the internet. And no one does that, right, Carter?
We're going to get to hear some of the comments.
Well, Carter set aside a couple of comments. Apparently, this created a lot of engagement.
Which is...
Yeah, some positive, some negative, right? Yeah, people agree, disagree.
We're here to listen to your thoughts about all of it.
So we're going to be surprised by some of those. So stick around at the end of the show because I think it'll be a lot of fun. We're going to be told... This is the first time we've seen it. You didn't read the comments, right?
I didn't read the comments either.
I refuse. So we're going to be told the comments and we're going to react in real time. And I'm sure all of them are very positive.
Okay. So as always, welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
This is the Cooligans. As always on... Sports, crushing it per usual. Let's get right into it. Nations League, the U.S. Played their game. You know, when we did the preview episode on Thursday last week.
We were flying high, huh?
We were just like, hey, okay. You know, this first game against Panama is just a formality.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about probably U.S.-Mexico final or whatever. I need water in a second. But the how wrong... Were we?
Yeah, we were double wrong.
So wrong.
You know, the
Pochettino was wrong. We were
Pochettino
wrong.
Was very wrong. I saw Scali up left and I was like, no!
he's played there before.
He was all right. Yeah, barely. Yeah. What is it? Like something like 170 minutes out of the 2,700 minutes he's played, something like that.
Sure.
So not enough. Not enough for me. I think we talked about the fullback position continues to be an area of potential strength, but usually a worry because not everyone's healthy.
Well, yeah, once there's injuries, there's not really much depth.
But the 3-4-3, this is the first time I really saw it under Pochettino, like to the full effect, like with all the big names.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you want Serginho Dest and Anthony Robinson in there, but it's the first time I saw it, and I'm like, I don't know, bro. But I think in the end, do you accept the fact that Panama's our bogey team? Do you accept that, or do you think it's just we played badly against them?
No, I don't think it's a bogey team. They're a good team. I mean,
bogey team could be good team. It's sure, just the team that we seem to not be able to beat.
And I think the reason behind it, and we'll probably get into it more, but the nature of these games, again, playing against Panama, where the current administration in the White House is constantly talking smack about making Canada.
We're just going to take it, bro. You can't do that,
so
bro.
I think the bigger picture here is just like the vitriol and the rhetoric coming out of the White House. Of course, the opposing team is like, okay, y'all country's talking all this smack. We're gonna show up for these games, mm-hmm. right? And Panama did that.
There is extra inspiration. There's an extra oomph in the way Canada played against us. There's an extra oomph in the way, you know, Panama played against us. Going back a few years to the first run of this administration,
right.
There was an extra oomph in the way Mexico played against us. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. Like, for a lot of nations, their national team is their army, so to speak.
Yeah.
Especially in Europe. I think you feel that a lot more in Europe because it's so tribalized. These countries are so small. They kind of go against each other. It's almost like states, but with, like, the stakes being higher.
Sure, sure. If you ever read any any books on or just history in general.
Interesting. But I don't know if I do this.
But if you do, you realize that our country's heroes used to be generals and like military people. Alexander the Great, like people who fought in wars, were the people that are the celebrities.
Napoleon.
And now it's our athletes and our national team. So that's what I'm saying. Like for teams, not only like for the Panamanian players, I don't think it's a bold argument or bold statement, but like them representing their national team probably means more to them than an American player representing his national team.
It's hard to gauge that.
I'm saying when you see how they show up and how they play,
right?
They're not going to, after the international break, they're not playing in Milan. They're not going back to Milan. They're not going to Fulham. They're not going to, England. Or, you know, some of the players play in certain places, but a lot of them might play in a Panamanian league or somewhere else in South America. So they maybe make less money. Like, just like this is a common thing with U.S. women's national team players, like players that aren't called up regularly. Like, this is where they get to make their money in playing for the national team. So it just means a lot financially. It means more for their careers as a whole, for their confidence and stuff like that. And I'm not the only one to say this. Like, you saw Clint Dempsey talking about just like players showing up and having that heart and having that the mentality to kind of be there. Charlie Davies was saying the same thing. There's just so much disappointment in these performances. And I understand you're going to lose games. I get it. But it's just like, I don't know what it is. If it's just like little mistakes or lack of chemistry, balls, like misplaced passes, people not showing up where they sort of need to be. There was one, I think Fosse made a pass or I forgot who it was.
Arston?
I forgot who it was, but I don't even remember which game, but it's just like a pass that went that went out just because the player wasn't in the right position. And that's just that isn't necessarily something about like not having the right mentality per se, but like a lack of chemistry. I think the injuries didn't help players playing.
I think what you're talking about is it seems like sometimes we don't show up for these games, where it seems like anytime somebody plays the U.S., especially if there's a little bit of additional inspiration from stuff that's happening geopolitically, they really show up for these games.
Yeah.
And they perform at their best, where it seems like we don't always perform at our best when we're going up against these countries. And, you know, Landon Donovan made some pretty crazy statements after the game. I'm not necessarily sure if I agree with them or not, but
what did he say? I didn't see it.
I got to pull it up, but Cardiff, we probably should have done it before, but you just reminded me now that you said that. And I apologize for that. But he basically said, like, I'm tired of these players not caring. If you don't want to play for the team, don't show up. That's better than playing badly, essentially.
Okay.
Pretty inflammatory stuff.
Sure.
Pretty damning stuff. But it feels like we're somehow not a great team, but we're never the underdog unless we play like in England or a team in Europe. It seems like within our own confederation, we just never feel like the underdog anymore. And I think this kind of reset that. It's like, bro, you're now in fourth place. Greg Berhalter went from winning every one of these that's ever been put in front of him. I know one of them was BJ Callahan, you know, someone from his tree.
Yeah.
We won all three. The first three, and now the fourth. We finish in fourth. We don't even finish in the top three. To lose to two countries that our administration have kind of, the term ridicule or try to, you know, sun. I mean, all right, so here's a Landon Donovan tweet. He's saying, I'm so sick of hearing how, quote, talented this group of players is and all the amazing clubs they play for. If you aren't going to show up and actually give a bleep, because he put S and onomatopoeia there. It says, about playing for your national team, decline the invite. Talent is great. Pride is better.
Yeah.
Which feels a little bit like old man yelling at the moon, a little bit. It feels
at a cloud, but I was
well, just, whatever. Does it really matter?
Old man yelling at the moon is all somehow beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. God, man, give him an acoustic guitar, bro.
What's this man yelling about? Yeah. I want to know.
What did the moon do to you, dog?
Okay,
but this feels a little like, you know, back in my day. This feels a little like that.
And but there has to be some. What is the criticism and who are we targeting, right? Because it feels a little bit like you know, we
went from not being able to play in Europe to now people who used to play on the national team saying like, oh, they've gotten too good. They're prima donnas. They don't want to come to the national team. They play at these fancy clubs.
No,
which one would, what do you want? Which one do you want?
Exactly. Right. So, but there's the point I was making was who, it feels like right now, this is where criticizing Pochettino feels too early to do that. So that's why these players are not doing it.
Fourth, I mean, he lost to Panama and Canada, where under Greg Berhalter, we generally beat these countries and we would win.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could kind of say like, all right, six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Without, you know, not having to qualify for the World Cup, it changes the tone in how we are going to be criticizing Pochettino and the players as a whole. And this, from my perspective, it's just like, yeah, I know we're in the World Cup and I want to do well in the World Cup, but I think my criticism of Pochettino obviously is like I don't really understand why Gio Reyna didn't start in both games or whatever.
Sure, especially the first game. I could counter that by saying he doesn't even play in his home for his club team.
Valid.
I prefer him starting more than not, but sure. You could make that argument.
But they look bad, and especially against a team that low block defending in Panama.
Creativity and tight spaces would have really been super helpful here.
Don't understand that mindset. But it sort of tells me that the urgency is not really there for Pochettino of like, not they want to win and they want to be successful. But I just think the urgency has to be there of like, we need to play like 100%. We need desperately to play well, and they need performances that are going to like, snowball into just more positivity leading into the World Cup. You can't just, yes, you can lose every single game in the next year and you're still at the World Cup and whatever. But that, when you see the both double headers, right? And the mm-hmm. first game is against Panama.
Embarrassing.
There's just nobody there. Mm-hmm. And,
you know, we went to a double header once. It was Canada versus French Guyana.
Yeah.
And then
Costa Rica, Honduras.
So the Florent Malouda played in that match when he wasn't allowed to. And it was very famously it became a big issue afterwards. They had to forfeit that win or the forfeit the game.
Yeah.
It ended up becoming like a 3-0 loss automatically for a Canada win. And there was barely anyone there. We were there just sort of sitting in our seats. And then as soon as close to the end of the match, all of a sudden, a bunch of Costa Ricans and Hondurans the fans start showing up, it started raining too, so they were leaving the tailgate, coming to the stadium, and the place was electric for the second match. It was one of the most electric matches I've ever seen. It was cool to be in a game where I didn't have a fan. I wasn't a fan of either team, I just got to watch. And I never thought we'd be the French Guyana Canada, you know what I mean?
In
our own country.
Some people were sort of criticizing U.S. soccer about
the ticket prices are too high. It's going to be constant.
It's a CONCACAF thing. And it's the tickets are too high, but it is two games you are seeing. So I don't know how productive that argument is per se.
But you also see like, and maybe CONCACAF doesn't care as much, but when U.S. soccer plays Mexico, they're like, you know what? We're going to go to Minnesota or Columbus. And that creates something where like Mexican fans have to work a little bit harder to get there. Yeah. So at least it evens it out a little bit.
Sure.
And CONCACAF's like, we don't care.
Yeah. So, but the fact that there were so few fans there supporting, it's just
the camera cuts to Pulisic, and you could see the grimace on his face.
It's so disappointing.
It's embarrassing.
And so that's my argument in general is that, you know, really the main point I'm making is that this administration, I think, is going to hurt the play on the pitch.
Also, the amount of fans that can even come into this country to root on the country.
That's a whole... The World Cup is a whole other thing.
Let's talk U.S. men's national team. So we had this rubric or a scale. We tried it a couple times on Morning Footy. It didn't go well because people... You have to give context.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you the context. It's -3 to 3. So it's not 0 to 10. It's -3 to 3. 0 is middle. Nothing.
Yeah.
I feel no one way or the other. You can understand what -1, -1, -2, -3. So from -3 to 3, how are you feeling the confidence of U.S. soccer, U.S. men's national team soccer, moving forward towards the World Cup?
I'm at -2.
That's pretty dangerous level, right?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I would say I'm at -1.
Okay.
Because maybe, and I've said this already, but maybe this is the rock bottom we need to get players upset and wanting to have that inspiration of coming in. I feel like I'm looking for a positive here, but it's so disheartening to see what happened in this Nations League when even if we won, we wouldn't have really given it much credit. But to lose the way we did is so disheartening. We've have the most talented group, and I don't care what Landon Donovan says. This is the most talented group we've ever had as far as on an international scale, where they're respected. I mean, Weston McKennie is a captain of Juventus. We've got Christian Pulisic for a large period of the year was the best player in all of Serie A. This is the most, the highest quality play our players have ever been a part of.
Yeah.
And for them to come together with a world-renowned coach, someone who took Tottenham to the Champions League final, someone who took PSG to the Champions League final, if I'm not mistaken, or at least took him to the match just before that. I can't remember if he got him to the final. This is a world-renowned coach. This guy's coached Neymar, Messi, you know, tons of superstars, Heung-min Son, Harry Kane. I mean, the name is endless. This guy understands talent from top to bottom, right? Obviously coached very well at Sunderland, had a storied career. For him to take this group of players and to put up the stinker leads me to believe that there's a problem somewhere that needs to be fixed. And I think the light shines on US soccer a little bit brighter again to be like, how is this falling apart yet again?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I think we are over hyping the talent. And I think the players are incredibly talented The resume is fantastic. They are playing in great clubs.
This is what we wanted.
And there's a lot of pressure on them, but it is not something that I don't think that is the main. That's not going to be the thing that changes it all for the national team. And yeah, it might sound silly or goofy of just like you need a lot of heart and blah blah blah. But like I had seen
intangibles, right?
But you had seen like Matt Doyle put out a tweet about how, you know, Clint Dempsey's best years for the national team were when he was in MLS. And that's just same thing with Landon Donovan. The league you play in does not necessarily represent
But what did we do with those guys? We got to the quarterfinal once. That's the best we did. I mean, we're trying to do better than that.
And we're not, right?
And we're not. Yeah.
So clearly just having our players playing in Europe is not enough to make a strong national team and just have that chemistry within the squad. The only like olive branch I'm offering to Pochettino is there are a lot of players missing and just injuries. I think if Anthony Robinson is in that game instead of Joe Scally, I think there's probably, you know, there's a bigger threat, a bigger attacking threat.
100%. If Jedi and Sergino Dest are healthy, this is a completely different result.
Yeah, I still also think Gio Reyna,
were missing creativity down the middle. And as much as I love Pulisic playing at the 10,
Pochettino,
he was quiet.
Pochettino said, I was waiting till extra time to bring in Gio Reyna. Why?
Yeah.
Why? I don't even understand that.
We never made it.
You see how difficult it is to break down Panama. Why are we waiting? And that's the it's not even arrogance, but just the conceit to think, we'll get him in extra time. When look, the goal that Turner gave up. Look, is he positioned the best? No, he's not.
To Waterman?
Yeah.
I blame Joe Scally for losing track of the runner and then Tim Ream
not
trying to decide, does he go or not? And in that moment of hesitation, Coco Garesquilla, the best midfielder on the pitch at that moment, finds a beautiful pass. Waterman takes a really difficult angle just past the gloves of Matt Turner. And then he jumps and has an iconic moment with Thierry Henry. And I look at Clint Dempsey in that moment just being like, I'm the most angry I've been. And now I have to deal with this sort of array of excitement and beautiful sort of heartwarming moment that was difficult to watch all around.
Yeah, I mean, we could break down and try to analyze every single, the bad moments of the game. I mean, that's why Total Soccer Show exists. And
shouts to those guys.
But it's such a... the disappointment for me is just like seeing the lack of belief and confidence in those players. Like they should be coming from their club teams being like, yo, all right, let's do this, and just be just have a positive outlook. And this stuff matters. It's not just they play well or they play in Champions League and boom, and they'll be fine. You can see Christian Pulisic, like when you mentioned about like when there's not a lot of people there, he gets sad and he gets bummed, and there's no way that doesn't affect his performances. He's not just like, whatever. It's like when we do stand-up shows.
What if we told him that the place was full, but then all those people got mass deported? Do you think he'd enjoy that a little more?
I don't know.
Allegedly, he would enjoy that more?
But maybe, we can make that joke. But is there, because of everything happening politically, are those conversations happening within the national team? Do they just avoid it? Because it's almost impossible. How can you all... Like, you should all have a common goal, a common thing that you want to support.
Yeah, but I think when you play in a team, you know some people you're not going to get along with, some people you are. It's what happens on the pitch. I think they can sort of remove themselves from that world for 90 minutes.
I don't. I mean, just like
talked to pros, you and I, you know that sometimes, like, I hate that guy, but I pass to him.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
as long as he does good for the 90 minutes, we're cool.
I don't know what it's going to be that's going to galvanize the team, but I don't think that thing exists right now.
I think they should go out and go steal a painting or something. You know what I mean?
Just like a little Ocean's 11.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah. Commit like a crime where no one gets hurt. And I think at the end of the day, they'll have this thing that bonds them together.
Maybe a retreat of some kind.
Yeah. Almost like a NORC retreat, you know?
Sometimes people, like offices, they hire like an improv group to help do improv games.
Which is the worst idea for the improv group and the employee.
Maybe that's what they need.
Yeah, zip, zap, zop, buddy.
Zip, zap, zop to each other.
Have you ever thought of yes ending a pass?
Especially the game against Canada.
I can't believe you said minus two. That's crazy.
The game against Canada.
Congratulations to Jesse Marsh. We got beat by the coach who U.S. soccer said wasn't good enough.
Yeah, it was. It's interesting because it's a third place game. So like both teams, like most of the times both teams don't really want to show up. But for Canada, this is like, hey, I don't care that we lost against Mexico. Like, we got to beat these guys.
We want to beat them by 25% more goals, if you get what I'm saying. Level out these tariffs.
And in hockey, they had the hockey game, and that was also very, very charged.
Yeah.
So that galvanized the team because they go back to their country, and it's not a parade, but it's a little bit of pride. And like, you saw the Canadian fans in the stadium were just like, third place.
Yeah.
Let's go. We did it.
They wouldn't have cared if third place was against Panama or Mexico. Right. But this, that meant something.
Exactly. So the congrats to Mexico, who ended up winning the Nations League for the first time.
Santi Jimenez finally playing well with the national team shirt on. God bless.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't score, but...
No, but he played well.
he did all right. But Raul Jimenez was fantastic. Again, I mean, that's kind of, I think, one of the better stories.
For the head injury that he had to come back?
Yeah. And he was playing a false nine in this game, and he was...
I don't think I've ever seen him do that.
He was... pinging passes.
Yeah.
He was all over the place and still had such an... and it just says, like, what the... Santi? And Santi even said, he had a comment. He was like, I'm learning. I need to learn from him.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
The right thing to say.
Yeah. Because Raul, much better than you right now.
Yeah.
But I think two of them playing together would be so dope.
Yeah. It was, it worked for the most part. I mean, Panama lost in tragic fashion, and that handball in stoppage time. I don't even understand. It's like one of those things, like, I cannot believe this happened. Like, we've watched this game for all our lives.
Like, bro, this is an 8K. You know what I mean?
I'm like, why is he sticking his arm out? And it's just a gift to them or whatever. So the last thing about this game I'll mention is they did do a stoppage for a grito again.
Is just never gonna go away.
They stopped the game for like five, like I think it was like 2 or 3 minutes or whatever. And we've said this over and over and over. And I've said this before. I don't think anybody listening to this is like, or disagrees with us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just at the point, like, I don't understand why they do it. They know what the penalty is. The thing that upset me the most was that they stopped the game, and I thought it was going to benefit Panama more because they were able to like regroup, but then they make this mistake and or whatever. Maybe I hate
you
that.
You think momentum would shift there, but it didn't.
I hate that the fans involve themselves in the game, and pause the game, and Mexico were rewarded for it. Yeah. That's the part that's frustrating.
Well, it feels like the fans have found a way to wield it to show disrespect to the team and the way it's been going. And now I also think it's just a bunch of drunk people who think it's fun.
It's not a bunch. It's a lot.
But I also think it's like one of those things where like, if you've been drinking and you yell it, the next time we're going to yell it too. Yeah. We're not getting in trouble for it. It
doesn't make sense. I mean, look, it worked out this time. But again, the World Cup is coming. Are they going to do this at the World Cup? It's just so gross and stupid. Whatever. I mean, I don't understand. What argument are we going to have? How much can we keep talking about this?
Yeah.
They don't want you to do it. And you keep doing it.
Whether you think it's okay or not, just don't do it.
Just don't do it.
It's going to hurt your team.
You're literally hurting your team.
Most of the time.
Or at the very least, you're hurting the entertainment product. You're like, it's like going to a Broadway show and be like, stop. Yeah. Stop the show for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just no point. So I don't get it. And it's frustrating that it keeps happening.
But
whatever.
Congratulations, you won this.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll respond to some of these USL Pro Rel comments, because you know everybody loves those. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to the show. A couple episodes ago, we had a little conversation about USL. Promotion relegation, and I thought you and I had a great conversation. Even though we didn't fully agree, I thought we both presented some really good options, and I think at the end of the day, no one could say anything negative about it. But then there's this thing called the comment section, and that allows people on the internet to say whatever the hell they want, and then we have to read it and feel bad about ourselves. So you and I, as comedians, have decided mostly we don't really care about the comments, but Carter does. Sure. So he read through the comments and picked apart seven ones that you think, I guess, will be constructive?
We'll have some fun with it too.
Oh, fun. But, all right, this is your chance to get back at us, Carter. All right. So, Carter, you're going to read these out, and then I guess we'll react.
Correct. All right. So, let's start with the first one. At Carlos Takes High, I think is his name.
Okay.
If promotion and relegation is so awesome, why hasn't USL been doing it already? They've had multiple leagues already for years and years. We're supposed to believe that USL is simultaneously going to implement a first division and promotion and relegation and compete with MLS, and it's all going to be perfume and roses?
Okay.
This is kind of like what I was telling you.
Yeah, feels a little bit pointed at my comments, because I took this is a pro, you took this as a rel. So I'll simply say, I think from having spoken to people at USL in the past, you and I both have, it seems like something that a lot of folks have wanted to do, and some people had some trepidation on doing. So I think it took getting owners to be convinced to do it. And I think that's been the problem from the beginning. So while I don't think everything is going to be roses and perfume, which I don't think you need both, because I think roses smell pretty good on their own, I do think that even though there will be missteps and there will be hardships, I think overall the pros outweigh the rels.
And that's just similar to what we were saying before. I just think like highlighting the fact that it's going to be a little bit more complicated and difficult than it all seems like. ProRel does not fix everything, I think it's healthy to be optimistic, but be realistic about the challenges. And overall, the main thing that we all have to think about is that these owners want to make money. They don't care if ProRel exists or does not exist. For the most part, some do and are really passionate about the game. But at the end of the day, what's going to bring in the most money and the most attention? And I already sort of noted that there are sort of two different conversations about being optimistic about ProRel and then competing with MLS.
They're
two different things.
And we've made it very clear that USL has found a way to sustain itself without having a top division or competing with MLS.
So
if the punishment is to do exactly what's happening right now, that's what happens when you get knocked out of the top division. I actually think that's going to be fine.
Okay. So, all right. What's that? What's next?
So Carter? I was right.
What are you right about?
Next question.
Sure. All right. So Shake and Bake 5919 has actually a very interesting point. His point is,
Shut up, Alexis. Is that
if the youth soccer pay-to-play model is not fixed or replaced, ProRel will just be for B and C teams that nobody will watch. This is putting the cart before the horse. Fix youth soccer first.
I don't disagree.
This is another one pointed at my point.
Right.
So let me just say this.
Okay.
You have to take steps to do that. I think the way it should work, not will work, should work, is more people will start lower league teams because this gives them an opportunity to get promoted up to the top have to have the ownership to be able to walk into the top, right? Mm-hmm. And because you're going to start lower league teams, these are going to be semi-pro. They're not going to be able to go out and pay major players. You're going to be inspired to want to build or partner with academies to develop players that can play in your team, in your system. And that's going to create just a lot more academies. And that will create a much more robust selling of high quality players, creating of high quality players, like we've seen Louisville City do, selling players to LA Galaxy and Benfica. And you're going to see that sort of come about naturally because by virtue of there being a promotional relegation and seemingly more people wanting to start teams from the lower leagues and work their way up to the top.
And yes, I mean,
and that is very roses and perfume.
To their point, yeah, it's really but the pay to play model doesn't necessarily go away overnight. It's going to take a long time.
I think you'll see it go away. Like if you and I start a Cooligans FC, a real Cooligans FC, not just a couple comics and improvisers. If we start a real team, we're going to want to be like, yo, there's a bunch of kids playing here. We should start an academy along with this, or we should start to partner with academies.
Sure.
And we're going to want the players that can play. We're going to want people to come in and play well, not just that can pay us, because that model, that's not how we're going to make money. We're going to make money by winning as a team and getting promoted and getting to the top division.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to see that model start to inverse.
I'm hoping.
Again.
I
hate to be wearing these perfume colored glasses, but I think what you'll find is that this is the beautiful vision. So
these are pretty tame.
Yeah.
It gets worse. It gets worse. Don't worry.
Is anything here pointed at Christian's comment?
This next one is kind of against Christian. Mm. It's this guy is at
up, Alexis. And Christian. Oh my God.
Oh, we will get to that in a second.
Yeah. I'm sure it's coming.
We're getting there. We're building our way
this
to the
foreplay,
but at over analyzing everything. That's his username.
All right. Goes, okay.
People who are saying nobody will be watching because of this, but they are already doing well now. I'm sure more people will start watching than stop, and it will help grow in popularity.
Okay.
A point I made as well. Thank you, overthinking, overanalyzing everything.
Okay.
Is it my burner account? Who knows?
Finally, your overanalyzing has paid off.
Yeah. I think appropriately analyzing everything.
I think this is sort of in reference, because I said something last week about people not watching, and it wasn't about people not watching just as a whole, like just because the quality is bad or blah, blah, blah.
You were talking about reference to competing with MLS.
Yes. And again, I say this point again, and I didn't mention this last time, and I've said this before in the past, but my hope for promotion relegation and the way it would be implemented is some sort of a merger between MLS and USL. That was the hope. Like maybe an MLS 1-2 and then USL Championship and so on and so forth.
That would take a massive change to MLS's
100%.
You know, business or USL.
100%. So but that is like when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, that they already have like structure in place. Just
that is the dream sequence, right? Everyone cool. just worked together and we figured this out.
As opposed to two division ones, which is I'm just saying that may so Don Garber did put out a statement about the USL Pro Raw, and he did say that, hey, it's good for them. If that's what they want to do, go for it. If MLS decides to do that in the future, maybe we will, maybe we won't. Who knows? So at the very end, he's not gonna say that's a terrible system and it'll never work for us.
Imagine he just comes out like, war for them.
So he's just being a businessman and doing what the owners.
He's giving a non-statement statement.
He's just like, hey, have fun with it.
Yeah, if it's that's cute for you.
It seems like they're saying like, hey, maybe let them try it.
Yeah.
It works for them. And then maybe there's interest in that. Then maybe MLS does that.
So your nightmare sequence, I've given my dream sequence. The nightmare sequence is, then MLS goes there. We'll also do promotion and relegation within ours. And now we have two Division Ones both doing promotion and relegation. And we're like, what the hell is going on here?
That's what I do not want.
So there is, that is a possibility. I don't want to see a world where that exists.
So what was this guy's name?
Peaches and Cream?
No. This is overanalyzed.
No.
Overanalyzed.
There's also overanalyzed? Yeah.
Overanalyzing everything. Okay, that's his name.
He said both of these things?
No, he just said about no one watching. I brought up the stuff about Garber and MLS, but so that's what all I'm clarifying is, like, I don't think that nobody's going to watch USL or that they need the best players so that people watch USL. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm just saying if you're competing with MLS and you're competing with Division One, it's not going to be a pretty little fight. That's all. It's not going to be like, oh, cool, USL is doing their thing. It is going to be, we are going to poach players. We're going to get USL players that would probably go in Division One and try to get them in MLS. That's all I'm saying. And that fight, this is like...
That fight's going to be with paying players.
Yes. But that fight is what I think is going to hurt the culture of the sport. Mm. Because it's like two corporations fighting against each other.
Competition, that's capitalism.
And it's capitalism.
And the sport and the rest of the world is capitalism.
The first thing I thought of is the streaming sites. The streaming sites are all competing against each other and all losing money. They're all like, no, we have to be the best. And now we're all just going to lose money.
But then the one who survives makes all that money.
But it's not about survival. It's what ends up happening is they merge. They buy out people. All I'm saying is, like, why go through the whole fight when we know...
Just merge now. All right. Yeah, okay. Good point. It's not the way it works in this country.
But yeah, all right. What's next?
All right. Next year, this is the one. I'm sorry, Alexis. Mr. Lee Crisp really came for you. Uh-huh. All feelings, no facts. Will a competing USL team work in a major market like New York or LA where there are already multiple established teams? They can work where there isn't anything better to do. Also, Alexis was mad annoying in this clip.
Yeah. All right, is, I think bro. I found my wife's burner. I mean, okay, so, okay, fine, Mr. Lee Crisp. Clearly, we found my wife's burner. That's very nice of you. Sorry that I was mad annoying. But also, you say I have no facts. You ain't got no facts. The facts you're stating are, yo, USL has only worked in secondary cities because that's been their business plan this whole time. Right, so, yeah. Of course, it's going to work in the thing they're going after.
Because they don't want to compete
with
MLS.
Yeah, they're trying not to compete with MLS. And I don't know if you noticed, but MLS has tried to buy or build teams in some of those cities because they're like, wow, USL is doing a pretty good job. So there can be competition. They can compete. And maybe some of those major city large market, clubs that aren't doing well just haven't built the support or haven't made themselves a part of the community. If it can work in Louisville and it can work in Detroit, there's no reason it can't work in Dallas. There's no reason it can't work in, you know, another team in LA or maybe just outside of LA or maybe another team in New York. Yeah. None of those, not all these things have to be true the way they are right now. It's simply about how a business is willing to go to market. I'm not going to sit here and say that MLS will completely collapse and then all of a sudden USL rises. But if for years we've been trying to decide whether promotion and relegation can work and now it's presented, I have the feeling that it can work. So I'm going to present those ideas that way and you're going to present ideas the other way.
Yeah. I would just say that we haven't seen a USL club compete with an MLS, you know, in a big city and compete with an MLS club while Pro Rel has existed in their league, right? So that I think
we'll find out.
Yeah, that's the main thing. It's like, will that interest in promotion relegation be enough to get people just excited about going to games? Every game will matter more.
Right. Here's a good example. Brooklyn FC, right? Mm-hmm. You have a market that already has two teams, right? Here's Brooklyn FC. Let's say they get promoted. Will that create like fans that want to go there? Can they connect to a Brooklyn market that maybe want to go there, right? If there's a small team in LA, let's say Orange County, right?
Yeah.
If they suddenly get promoted and now they're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, fans want to go to that. I'm not saying it's going to be beat out LAFC or beat out LA Galaxy, which have two tremendous followings. But can there be enough people there to sustain a third team? There's no reason why that can't be the case.
That's the main thing. We will see.
If there's like 20 teams in London, we can have three in a city here.
Exactly. All right. What's next?
All right. Sorry, Christian. This one comes for you.
Finally. Oh, hold on. All right. The audience.
At vision-UF5MM. I don't even. Okay.
I'll pronounce it later. I created it. So go for it.
Why is Christian a hater? Corporatist? Bro, support your local football club.
Oh, corporatist.
Okay. This is fine. Okay.
Now we get to the truth. The jersey you're wearing is made by Kellogg's.
I'll be so before you told us to not look at the comments, I did see this comment.
Oh,
before I saw this,
you
a couple
son of a gun.
I'm just gonna be honest because I don't want to pretend I didn't see it. I saw this a couple days ago. This is I don't understand the. I think the sentiment behind this comment
is that I'm for the people and you're not. You're for the pocketbooks.
I love corporations. Love. I'm wearing this Palestine shirt.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
businesses.
Yeah, it's Palestine Incorporated. They make widgets.
LLC.
They make widgets. Big widget company. Yeah, it's on my Unilever.
That with Ben and Jerry's. no, this is. I think the sense here is that. It's, and I kind of said this on the pod last week, where I'm like, I'm not just blankly supporting MLS and everything that they do. I just, again, it is the competition aspect. I want ProRel just as much as everybody else. What I don't want is this competition of leagues fighting each other for. I want the pyramid, and we all understand it. And the country, we have all the clubs in the bottom of the pyramid trying to get. I want that. But what's gonna happen with this Division One? There's going to be it's gonna be a different type of fight because MLS wasn't always necessarily threatened by USL in any way. And I'm afraid of what some of the MLS owners are going to do in that competition. And we've already seen it with like...
There's going to be some dirty tricks, of course.
That's what and that's the main thing. So it's not about supporting...
I'm pretty sure USL's prepared for that, though.
Probably, yeah. But it's just like we saw what happened with the San Diego Loyal and where, you know, the San Diego Loyal were trying to get into MLS.
Yeah.
And
Landon Donovan was part owner.
Exactly. And then, you know, MLS found a different ownership group and they were like, all right, forget the Loyal. We have this gear.
How about this Loyal? Yeah.
So that is, we see what they can be capable of when they want what they want.
To not try something because you're afraid of the other company's dirty tactics is a loss.
No, but I'm not saying to not try it. I'm just saying that, again, there's going to be some bloodshed. Yeah. There's going to be a dirty fight, uh-huh. which is like, as a fan of the sport, I just like don't want that fight. And I just want there to be ProRel the way we see it in the rest of the world. And maybe, look, this is how we have to get there. Maybe it has to be a little bit dirty.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So that's where my sentiment is coming from. Not because I'm just simply supporting the MLS owners or the MLS clubs or whatever.
Sounds like company talking points to me.
All right. What's
Carter,
that?
What else you got?
All right.
For
I
us?
Felt bad, Christian. So we got someone who is defending you.
Let's
here.
Go.
I say, I got nothing. I'm mad annoying. And God bless Christian.
At Thomas19064.
Oh, Thomas. And Gully Squad. Thomas,
nice.
Homie. Yeah.
He goes to Christian's point. If the players or talent aren't there relative to MLS, soon USL will get the moniker of D1 in name only. That's the risk. ProRel as a primary gimmick is the differentiator needed early on, but they will need to ramp talent up after that.
Look at that.
But I don't think that that's something that needs to be done immediately. I don't disagree. And I think on the show, I agreed with you in the clip that to some degree, I don't necessarily think you need Premier League level players, like superstar level players, in order for this to work. If you are going for the community fan base, if you're going for 15 to 20,000 seat stadiums versus, you know, the 30, 40, 50, 80,000 seat stadiums, you don't need superstar names to fill that. It could be a small community club that is in D1 and it still gives you a robust viewing numbers. And you know what I mean? You don't need, like, Luton could win the Premier League and that's not going to kill Premier League's ratings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's a small city or a small town or with a small stadium. I just don't see that being the case. So I don't think you need superstar level players. But if you become a more robust selling league than MLS, you're probably already doing better. And I think we see that in Europe. There's people aren't not going to RS Anderlecht teams. I might have missed a letter there. RSC
Anderlecht, I think, yeah.
Anderlecht games because they're not the Premier League. You know what I mean? People aren't going to, are you know, skipping out on PSV games because they're not Liverpool. That's not the case. It's the thing in front of you. Is it good and are we winning? And that's what's important. The level should rise steadily. It doesn't need to be at the top immediately. I don't think so in order to survive. I could be wrong.
I agree. I agree with that. And that's how it should be. You support your local club and the club has been there for 120 years.
Wow, how the tables have turned, you corporatist.
But again, I keep bringing this up.
Yeah.
Is USL going to have the time to do that while also competing for that Division One?
I think we're talking about two different things, though.
I don't think
USL's survival, because they're surviving, depends on them being able to beat MLS.
At some point,
it could be years.
And we all want it to get to the point where the club is bigger than any individual player, and people will go and support the shirt regardless of who's wearing it. What happened?
MLS isn't even there yet completely.
Correct. But the American sports mind is so used to having, we support the superstar, and that's how we get the narratives delivered to us and like who we support and how we support them. Travis Kelce dating Taylor Swift is a big reason of why more people are interested in the Kansas City Chiefs, whether you like that or not.
Sure.
But that's just a reality.
But also, I can counter that with the Knicks. They were terrible for very long. They still sold out every game. There are sometimes
Metropolitan city in the world
Which their soccer teams sometimes struggle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's instances where if you can connect yourself with that city and the people in that city, it doesn't necessarily matter if you don't have the biggest names. They will still come out to support. And to some degree, with USL making most of their money off the gate, I don't think we really need to worry. It's only growth. This is just growth if they can get the television numbers, especially at the end of the season when there's a relegation battle.
Again, same thing I said last time. I hope it works out. That's really that's my main.
And by the way, that's facts, not just emotions.
All right, what's next?
All right, this is the last one. And before you give us your like full spiel, I just want your answer to this. All right. At No Sleep Till Humboldt asks, how long until MLS and USL systems are consolidated into one superstructure like other pro sports leagues in the US, except this time with ProRel? So I just want to hear how long you think it'll take.
Never.
Oof. I'm not gonna say never. I think it could happen, especially if it's successful. But
it should happen. But I don't think it will.
I'm gonna say 20 years from now.
Can I tell you why it'll never happen?
Why?
Because in order for that to happen, MLS can no longer be MLS. So MLS is a single entity. You know what I mean? MLS owns the player contracts. MLS owns the logos. MLS owns the trademarks. That would have to be dispersed. It would have to be broken apart and not the MLS that we know now, which I'm fine with if the owners decide that that's what they want to do. I'm fine with that being the case. And then it becomes independent clubs like what we see in Europe. And maybe they can link with USL and say like, all right, here's a structure. Or it would take USL not being USL and deciding we're going to go single entity, even though we have promotion and relegation. It's all an enclosed system, but we want to join with you. So it's going to have to take one of them coming to the other side. Whether it's the negative, I think we all see, which is USL expanding upon MLS's single entity system, which I think we all view as having survived MLS to this point, but has more negatives than positives now in the way the sport is viewed now. I think we would all agree on that. Or it would take MLS deciding, you know what? You own New York City, you own New York City FC. Rebel, you own New York Rebels. San Diego, you own San Diego FC. And everyone go about their separate ways together and let's all join into USL systems. We become, MLS Premier League. MLS becomes the Premier League, quote, so to speak. And then Championship or whatever their Division One becomes the second division. And then we all just kind of join together in this big promotion relegation. I just don't see it happening. And first of all, it'll never happen because one of those two have to cease their operations as they exist right now. Because there's no harmonious way to do single entity.
But I don't think it's that big a deal to change that structure. It's like it's annoying and it'll be a big task.
It would be monumental because they fought it every step of the way. And they won the court case. They won a court case that allows them to continue this and not be considered a monopoly. So this would be huge. It would take a vote from the majority of the owners, if not all of them.
Again.
And do you think those NFL owners will agree to do that?
Well, the main point I'm making is that if USL and ProRel turns out to be successful, the owners will see that there's money there.
That may
there.
Put pressure on them. And I think that's the world I hope for.
Yeah. And that's what I think ProRel will be successful. I think it can. If MLS says, all right, let them do their own thing and don't get in the way But that's not gonna happen. That's what I'm worried about. Like them, because in a capitalist market, yeah, the competition is a real thing. How dirty are you gonna make that fight? Is what I'm worried about. But I think if USL not only just survive, mm-hmm. but pro rel and games that are important and games that are on TV and just the narrative and the storyline is visible to all of us that we know these games matter. I think
can I offer you a scenario and then I want you to give me your idea? I know we have to run, but this is what I want to say last. What? Okay, San Diego paid $500 million. Let's just say that's the number moving forward. It's not going to grow from there. Signs are it may grow, but let's call it as it is. There's not any more really major markets that need a team, right? You'd have to consider adding a team to a major market that already has one or going to a smaller or adding a third to a super major market like New York or LA, yeah. right? That's probably not going to happen, not for $500 million, because there's probably some fear. Why would a group of investors decide to do that versus walk into USL with a lot of money and now more money to spend on building that team versus spending it just for the franchise fee to then build your team to get promoted to the top, when investors, what they look for is ways to multiply their money, right? I came in at 1x, now I'm at 10x. Whether that number is billions or a couple hundred million, to say you've 10x your investment, your asset is a big positive. That's like, oh, nice. Now I could borrow against this thing like the Glazers do. That's the kind of thing where you can walk into USL at a lower level. I think your overwhelming majority of billionaires would probably decide to do that thing where we keep more of our money in our pocket and we can spend it on building a team that gets up to the top of the ranks faster, like they decided to do with Wrexham, versus walking MLS at $500 million. $500 million is more money than most Premier League clubs would charge. That's bottom of the table, obviously. Yeah, yeah. But think about that. And people are paying that for these MLS clubs. I don't know that billionaires would do that. Would you agree with me? It seems like a smarter investment to walk into a USL.
I agree with that. Yeah. And
so I think why there may be that shift.
Who's the owner of Bournemouth that was on Morning Footy? He said the same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
He said he was like, I could have bought an MLS club, but like, why would I do that? It's just like, it's so unbelievably expensive and I can I can own a team and it'd be just much more financially reasonable to do that with a
Premier League. It's crazy to suggest buying a Premier League team is financially prudent, but here we are.
Yeah, just the nature of the fact that you could lose out on your investment by not being in that league. You could lose a fair amount of money. But again, this is all dependent on how successful Pro Rel is. If they don't see dollar signs at the end of it, they're not gonna do it, and they're not gonna merge and all this other stuff. That, again, I'm only saying that wishful thinking. It is my hope. Do billionaires behave in a way that is just altruistic and they just want to see a good? No, they don't, and I'm not expecting that either. But if the market forces them to say, where MLS, even MLS fans are like, hey, yo, they're doing some really fun stuff out there at USL. Like, at the end of the day, it's just about selling tickets and moving some merch.
Yeah.
And some sponsorships. That's it. And if they can, if it's a possibility that the market moves in the direction of USL and Pro Rel, then they're going to be forced to make that decision. So, all right, Carter, thank you for.
Yeah, I think you did a really great job picking the comments.
Yeah, you know, this is what the
community. You couldn't find one more that was anti-Christian.
Is that the community feels? I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I guess they just want to side with the big capitalist pig, Christian Polanco,
corporate shill that I am
reading all this stuff from a deck that was made for him by the CMOs.
All right, we're gonna wrap up when we write back with some MLS recap and everything happened over the weekend. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Thanks again for your comments. Don't ever do that again. And actually, leave all the comments you want, please. And don't forget to hit the like button. But let's talk a little bit about MLS. Chicago, they've had a loss to start the season.
Yep.
And then a draw right after that. But they are rolling. In fact, they just rolled over a undefeated Vancouver with his own kid, Greg Berhalter. So yeah. Saw his own son and said, watch what I'm going to do.
The Berhalter Bowl.
Yeah, dude, this is crazy. Also, you know, Berhalter winning seems pretty poignant with everything going on with the national team.
So, Greg Berhalter arriving to Chicago, not only as just the coach, but he's also the sporting director. Yeah.
A lot of responsibility.
But Chicago have been so bad for such a long time. And when's the last time they made the playoffs? 16, 15. It's been a long time.
Bradley Wright Phillip last year was telling people to throw out their season tickets.
I did see that.
And he's not saying that now. I mean, this is an exciting team.
I think the move to Soldier Field
there was a lot of missteps from the logo change to the switch to Soldier Field, and then COVID happens.
Well, the switch to Soldier Field, I think, SeatGeek State. Yeah. I don't know what it's called now.
Highland Park? Highland Park outside of Chicago?
No, it starts with a B. I forgot where. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But that move, it hasn't drummed up the interest and excitement for the team. The Fire seemed like a team like they could use their own stadium in downtown Chicago, mm-hmm. if that's even a possibility. But Greg Berhalter arriving, I just think it's been... I was uncertain of like what it would look like. And they got Jonathan Bamba, mm-hmm. Who's been fantastic.
Yep.
And they just have a...
Kuipers looks amazing.
Kuiper, who's the other guy that has like a great name?
Oh, it's like... King and Nagel or something like that. King and Nagel.
Yeah, what he has a. Let me pull up his name. Zinkernagel.
That's it. What a fun time!
Is such a great.
That sounds like an old timey slur. You know.
You know, like
what are you from Montana? You're one of those.
It's like a slur that you know white people call each other.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're from Montana. You know what I mean? It's not like another nation. You're from one of those new states. Yeah.
You know, it's a slur you can say in front of grandma.
Yeah, yeah. She says it. You know.
So, grandma, we don't say Zinkernagel. Oh, anymore.
Gosh darn it, grandma.
She must be really upset.
Wow.
No, but look, I always take these games as, during international breaks. I don't take them super, super seriously because some of the results might be a little bit skewed.
Well, I kind of want to get to a point where MLS isn't playing during international windows.
And we might get on the schedule of Europe.
Let's hope so.
We shall see.
I know it's not easy for everyone, but I would love it.
Yeah. So I don't take it too, too seriously, but like you got to give credit where credit's due. So to put three up against Vancouver on the road is impressive. And
does it really matter though?
You always say this. You're like, if it's not the last game of the season, it's
not important. No, not the last game, but we've seen this before, man. We've seen teams be absolutely dreadful in the first like 10 to 12 matches. And then you turn on, you just got to get into the playoffs. I think at the end of the day, one of the positives is Chicago have been dreadful for so long that there's hope.
Yes.
It's beautiful. But this could turn sour very quickly.
It could. I have no reason to be that pessimistic. I mean,
I don't think so either. Do you have reason to be optimistic?
You're saying it's really difficult to be abysmal the first 10 or 12 games of the season and then all of a sudden be great in the playoffs and end up winning. That's very rare. I can't even... When's the last time like a...
Portland. Portland, when they barely snuck into the playoffs. And they ended up winning the whole thing.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not saying it's never going
to
happen.
I'm not saying that's the only time, but that's the one that
it
rings
so
a bell.
Rare. I'm just saying to be dismissive of these early games, I think is a little...
Look at what Miami did. They ransacked the season and then they end up losing in the playoffs. Like,
and then Atlanta gets found out and they lose to Orlando.
Yeah.
And,
but what I'm saying is they, the first few matches, this essentially boils down to a preseason.
Okay.
A competitive preseason tournament is the first 10
completely
matches.
Completely disagree. This is
of course you do. Well, go ahead, comments. I'm annoying.
You're basically like, if there's no Pro Rel, the first few matches don't matter.
No, it's not that. I think it's just so many teams.
No.
And because it's not a balanced schedule, you kind of get the first 10 matches don't matter. Also, there's 8 teams that get into the playoffs in each division.
Right.
It's crazy.
Okay.
That's 68% or something like that. 65%.
The 8th seed usually doesn't win the MLS Cup. That's all. If the teams that are good early on in the season still tend to be good at the end of the season, they may not win MLS Cup, but they don't all of a sudden fall apart.
You know what? If Chicago Fire go on to win MLS Cup, I will let you pick everything I eat for a day.
Every day? Wow, there's so much food. I don't know. I got to start the list now.
Okay, first of all. I fast, you prick. So it's two meals. I have coffee for breakfast and it's lunch and dinner.
Okay.
I mean, you and your nutritionist wife, aka my arch nemesis, can decide whatever it is that I eat.
So the okay.
Shake hands. Come on. Okay, sure. Oh, by the way, if they don't, I get to pick everything you eat for a day.
All right. Well, that means not going to be much. All right.
Buddy, wait till you see.
I have an eating disorder. Yeah. Anyway, okay.
Orlando.
No, first up, before Dean Smith, we have to talk about.
Oh, yeah, he got a contract extension, huh?
Yeah, that got a contract. He probably was like, yes, I will accept the contract extension that you are offering me.
But still, I think you and I were a little worried about when he first came. We're like, is he too old school, too old British?
You know, Gam Tam is going to be too much for old
But Dean. He's thriving. We also said the sun would affect him. He's like, hey, he's British. They're not used to playing in North Carolina summers.
The sun is not really arrived yet. You know, we're not.
But he survived the season already. He wants to stay. So it seems to be going well for him.
Yeah. So, after the game, he was talking about his contract extension, and he just, you know, said all the right things. He did say that he loves who he works for. It's great to work with the people that he works for, which is the, what is it, David Tepper?
Tepper, yeah. The Carolina Panthers.
But who have people don't normally speak very highly of him. So, obviously, he got the contract extension.
Buddy, the guy signs his checks.
He's not going to say anything negative. But what he's doing at Charlotte is pretty spectacular. Before Dean,
he's
Smith's
also very passionately a multi-club owner model type guy. He's very passionate about it, enough willing to lose money at some of the clubs that he's owned so he can get out of it and fulfill this model. To some degree, maybe you don't love the guy. Maybe working for him is a bit of a nightmare. I don't know. Maybe this is what's out there. But at the end of the day, at least he really cares about the sport and really believes in this model.
It's working out. And Charlotte are in second place in the East.
Botafogo won the Brazilian League.
Botafogo. Why are you
talking? Isn't that David Tepper?
No, David Tepper. You're thinking about
Texter. All right. Well, then this guy's not a fan. That guy's a fan of the multi-club.
I thought you meant
owner.
Multi-club meaning like he owns the Panthers.
No.
Or
all right. Wrong guy. By the way, the name is so similar. You can't get mad at me on this one. Tepper and Texter, you think you come
and
on.
You wonder why the comments say what they say.
No, because that's the only one. You know what? I'm going to pick comments, Carter. I'm going to pick the comments next time.
Anyway.
Wait till you see what some of these first-time commenters with no photos say about you, Carter.
But Charlotte look great. They look spectacular. They are the first, when they first got into Major League Soccer, they played like an expansion club, much more cautious.
Remember, they fired their manager like 3 weeks before the season.
Right. And
it was a rough one. He was like, what is it? Estamos cargados, something like that. He said,
Estamos jodidos. Yeah. And so there's clearly the chip has been righted, and there's like, you know, there's a solid foundation.
It's a really great fan base there as well. So I'm glad that it's working out for
totally.
Them.
Totally. So
Wilfred Zaha, also a genius pickup.
That helps quite a bit. I said
he would be immediately a great marketing move for the club.
And the fact that he joined the club, the fact that he picked that club, he could have gone pretty much anywhere if that he wanted.
That's because of Dean.
And Dean Smith. So it was a good move to obviously keep him with the club for two more years.
Every highlight is them on a counterattack. Every single highlight. So I have a feeling you're watching a lot of bunker ball and a lot of sprints to the other side. But it works out for them. They flood the box with numbers. It's fun to watch.
And they did that without Patrick Adjumang. So that was impressive. The just another player that we want to highlight from Orlando City. Pasalic. What's his first name? What's Pasalic's first name? I know he's Croatian. Guadalupe Pasalic, right? Would be...
Everybody knows that guy.
Marco Pasalic. And we've been watching him. He's a new DP for Orlando.
He came from Belgium, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think he came from the Croatian league.
Maybe it was Croatian league. Actually,
yes, he was at Dortmund though for a long time.
Yeah.
And he scored a goal against DC United that just absolutely spectacular. And we can take a quick look at it right now. And just the build up to it. But I love the. You don't see this too much in MLS, especially in a run like this, where you like the entire team did so much to get you that ball. And we're all going to run in the box. We're all going to crash in there.
We're all going to deter our defenders from crashing to you.
And he's just like, nah, I got this.
Yeah, watch what happens. Watch what I can do from out here, bro.
That's Muriel Ojeda that gave him that ball. I think it was Muriel. And just a banger of a left foot. And then after
the way it bounces off the net is so intriguing to me.
Yeah.
It like bounces up. You know what I mean?
He caught it in just a sweet spot in the net. Almost like, you know how...
Like the English on that ball. It was like spinning in a way where it ricochets up.
You know how sometimes you ever seen like those tight basketball nets that the ball If you get it so cleanly in, the ball actually bounces back out of it. That's kind of what it reminded me of. But it's interesting because Orlando, we were just at Yankee Stadium to see them play NYCFC. And NYCFC handled them pretty well. And it's like, Orlando seemed to be a bit more threatening than I think that we saw in person.
Yeah, I think that's part of the home field advantage of the pitch being a little different than most of the ones they play. And we've seen this from time to time. And then come the playoffs, they figure out how to play against this. But yeah, I think Orlando is a lot more exciting. I think there were some questions about Pareja after last season, right? You know, sort of, can he keep his job? And we have such positive experiences from talking to Oscar Pareja. It's exciting to see some Muriel kind of playing better now. And it feels like the things are lining up for them positively. Again, it's early. I hate to be that guy again. It is early, but still, like, these are positive signs to see. Kind of, you wonder what was going on last year. Now it seems like maybe some of those ghosts are gone.
Yeah, and you know, to the comment about like it's early or whatever, it's still fun to see teams find their chemistry like really early. Even though like San Diego, they just got beat by Austin, they lost their first game in club history. But seeing them kind of like figure it out and still, even though obviously very defensive and you know, it's still kind of fun to see them navigate as a new team in MLS. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, who has the vibes right now? And Orlando seem to be in a good spot. Like team, even though like Columbus is higher up the table, like that 0-0 draw, like Columbus is still the vibes are not, even though they're like in sixth in the Eastern Conference. It's just like the vibes are just, after losing Cucho, after losing Christian Ramirez, like there's just like the vibes are not exactly.
I agree.
There. Nashville vibes are crazy. They look incredibly fun to watch. Same thing like we were talking about Charlotte. So, all right. Another fun week, an international break, some MLS.
Remember when we were like, we'll never have anything to talk about this week.
No, there's too much.
constant array of stuff to talk about.
Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in. We always appreciate you. Make sure you follow us on Blue Sky if you have not yet. SoccerCooligans.com on Blue Sky. Get on there. Everybody's leaving that other website, so don't hesitate. The soccer community is moving over there. So
also hit that like button. It's huge. If there's only one thing you do, it's hit the like button. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that like button. That is going to tell. First of all, if you watch this long, thank you. Definitely hit that like button. Mm-hmm. But if you want to tell the rest of the world, hey, these guys are a good hang, hit that like button.
Exactly. Also, if you want to hang out with us, just let us know.
Yeah. you're not allowed within 50 feet of me unless you commented nicely in the last video.
All right.
Clearly doesn't exist because Carter couldn't find it.
Hit subscribe. As always, thank you so much for hanging out with us, everybody. We'll see you on Thursday. Peace.
Love you guys.